Corporate giants face growing calls to cut ties with suppliers alleged to be using forced labor from China's Uyghur people. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a new letter today, more than 180 activists and campaign groups have accused companies like Nike and Apple of bolstering and benefiting from exploitation of the Muslim minority group in China. U.S. authorities have also warned firms against doing business in the Xinjiang region due to labor abuses. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has more on that story.
Most of China's cotton and 20% of the global supply is produced in Xinjiang. It's also home to many factories said to use forced labor. And that's put clothing companies firmly in the spotlight. Activists say brands and retailers should have left long ago. Today, they accuse firms including Nike and Apple of benefiting from exploitation of Uyghur Muslims. Nike told the BBC it doesn't directly source materials from Xinjiang, but it has dealt with one of its suppliers who it says no longer employs workers that could have been trafficked from the region. Tech giant Apple does source parts, but says that it has found no evidence of forced labour on its production lines to date. In London, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Checking the markets, data from South Korea showed the economy registered its worst performance in more than 20 years in the second quarter. Australia's government, meanwhile, said measures to protect its economy from the impact of coronavirus have led to the biggest budget deficit since World War II. The economy is expected to drop by more than 3% this year. Elsewhere, European shares are seeing a broad boost after a better-than-expected batch of second-quarter earnings here. Shares of Unilever are soaring about 8%. It reported a smaller-than-forecast fall in revenue, thanks to a pickup in sales of items like ice cream and beauty products. Investors also can't get enough of tech stocks, which have been steady risers this year despite the COVID-19 pandemic. That's been a boon to China's tech-heavy Star Market, which turns one this week. And it's already Asia's most valuable stock market, worth more than $400 billion. It's not just a place to list shares, though. As the BBC's Justin Harper explains, it's also a way to bolster the Chinese economy as the country's relations with the U.S. continue to sour.
In a way, it's pretty strategic to do it well in advance of sort of escalating tensions. Given the sort of atmosphere now where lots of tech firms are launching and you've got a lot of unicorns making a lot of money, it's great to have a homegrown market like the Star Market to rival the Nasdaq, regardless of US and China tensions. So in that respect, you know, it's great timing.
The Star Market has become the world's second biggest IPO market behind the Nasdaq. And this month, it raised more than $7 billion through new listings. What companies have decided to list there, and why are they choosing this exchange over ones in Hong Kong or the US?
I think there's a little bit of sort of pressure on Chinese companies to sort of stay domestic. It's easier to launch in their home market, and they're being encouraged to launch in their home market. You've seen some very big players. One is a Chinese chip manufacturer called SMIC who've launched, and that raised more than $7 billion, which is one of the biggest share sales in a decade in China.
And one of the latest to announce that it's planning to list on it is Ant Group, which is the payments arm of Chinese tech giant Alibaba. Could more companies follow suit?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Ant Group would be a huge coup for Star to get on there. And I think other tech companies will follow suit. You've already got Chinese car maker Geely, which makes the London Black Cabs and Volvo. And there's a number of other tech companies either doing new listings or considering leaving the US or even Hong Kong exchanges to go onto the Star Market.
One of the important things to consider here is that the NASDAQ 100 is still 20 times bigger than the Star Market at this point. So how can the Star Market itself recruit some of these more high-value, high-profile firms?
Yeah, I think when you've got big firms like Ant Group coming on, that will definitely attract players. They'll be on the radar, the Star Market. And you have to remember that the Star Market is, you know, as you said, only 1 year old, and it's already worth $400 billion. And the Nasdaq is more than, I think it's 35 years old. It was set up in 1985. So it's got a long way to go, but it's been incredible in its sort of how quick it's grown.
The BBC's Justin Harper. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mattel, the world's biggest toy maker, reports second quarter financial results later today. And there's been a big focus on companies like the one that makes Uno and Scrabble because many people have turned to more board game entertainment during the coronavirus lockdown. The BBC's Will Bain explores whether that could eventually be a boost for some toy makers' bottom lines.
So, come on, Green, you're not really doing much, are you?
For people around the world, the sounds of lockdown have been birdsong instead of traffic, the kettle instead of the coffee shop grinder, or someone repeatedly reminding your colleague that their microphone's muted.
Six!
But for a lot of us, apparently, it sounded just like the Murray Pike family home on the banks of the River Thames in London. Rolling dice, the tapping of counters. And though surprisingly absent in this recording, rows over who's cheated this time. According to one UK market research firm, sales of board games and jigsaw puzzles surged during lockdown, up 240% on the same Easter period as last year. That's been no surprise at all to Mattel. Ray Adler is the head of games for Mattel.
People are on lockdown around the world, looking for things to do with their families. Games obviously comes to the forefront as something people can do together.
At a time when digital sales are surging, it's interesting to see the spike in popularity of products that feel, well, the antithesis to that. And the data suggests, too, that we've found comfort not in the new and glitzy, but in old favourites. Ray Adler again.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the case of Uno, right, last year, Uno was the number one game in the entire world. It really is language agnostic, age agnostic. Young kids can beat their parents.
Hasbro is the maker of some of the best known of those old family favourites, including Cluedo and the 85-year-old Monopoly. Kay Green is Hasbro's boss for the UK and Ireland.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's because people, you know, were thinking of nostalgia. They were thinking of the times when they had to spend more time with their family. They know the rules. They know what they're going to get.
Is that it? Is that the secret to a good game, full stop?
I think it depends what the occasion is. You know, we've got games for preschoolers. It's got to be simple, fun, laugh out loud, funny games like Hungry Hippos, right up to the more serious strategic games. So I think it's having that breadth. I do think, though, friction-free at this time, you know, being able to get it out of the box, just get on and play, it is what people want.
We've got ostensibly the boss of Monopoly on the line, so we're going to have to ask you, Kay, how on earth do you manage the apocalyptic arguments?
I think that's all part of the fun, isn't it? Arbitrating those arguments. Actually, we have arguments at the beginning of the game because I always want to be the Scotty dog.
Familiar fun? Familiar arguments, and seeking distractions as generations before us have from crises big and small, it seems there's plenty more turns left for the physical board game. In London, well, more precisely, slap bang in the middle of Monopoly's green set, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Will Bain referring there to the BBC headquarters location on the Monopoly board near Oxford and Regent Street. Let us know your lockdown entertainment favourites. We're at the hashtag BBC Marketplace on social media. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.